I'm John Batchelor, Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman. He keeps Behind the Black to keep us informed about commercial space and space discovery. Right now, the spectacular image on Behind the Black of SpaceX's fully stacked Starship Super Heavy. Bob, this is one large pencil. What am I looking at? Why do they stack it now? Does this mean they're getting ready to launch? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Very possibly. I mean, Musk has said in a tweet that they're aiming to try to launch the first orbital flight of Starship before the end of the year, and November was possible. And so what they have now done is they have Super Heavy on the launch pad, and they used the launch pad tower, which has what he calls chopsticks, which are used to lift the Starship up and stack it on Super Heavy. And they have done that. Now, that's the picture I got on Behind the Black of it's about to attach Starship to Super Heavy. This thing's very tall, obviously. It's a big rocket. It is the most powerful rocket in existence at this moment in time, if it launches. And so these are both prototypes, Super Heavy and Starship, and they've stacked it. And what the goal here will be, first and foremost, is to do a variety of dress rehearsal countdowns, fueling, and then leading to a static fire test of Super Heavy. And I think there are indications here that they will try to do a static fire test of all 33 engines on Super Heavy. I had heard previously that they couldn't do that on the launch pad because they didn't have the ability to hold the thing down. But it appears that SpaceX does have that ability because Musk has said they're aiming for eventually a static fire test of all 33 engines. And what that means is they do a dress rehearsal countdown, they fuel everything up, and then they get the T-minus zero, and they'd ignite the engines and fire them for a very short time, 1 or 2 seconds.
And then they shut it down. The engines don't fire
simultaneously,
I believe you've told me. They come on and go off at different times.
Well, the goal here is, in the end, is to have them all firing. But they don't fire them instantaneously all at once. They stagger the launching. But you got to understand, John, anyone watching might not notice the staggering because we're only talking microseconds apart. They just simply have to stagger it a little bit for a variety of reasons. And so they will be staggered, but it might be not something you'll notice. They'll count down to T minus zero. They'll say engines ignite. You'll see them ignite. You might not realize that there's been a slight staging between the different engines. So either way, that's the goal, is to get to the static fire test. Now, of course, if they do these dress rehearsals and come upon any problems, they will have to deal with the problems. These are prototypes, and they expect problems, actually, as they try to refine and smooth things out. And so if there are any problems, they will have to deal with those problems or issues that they have to fix, engineering fixes, and then they will proceed forward. For all we know, if they do further tests, engine tests, and they find more engine problems, they may have to unstack everything and bring them back to the assembly building and do some fixes. SpaceX works very fast here when they do that. So it won't make for big delays, but we can't assume for a minute that this is going to follow very smoothly to a launch in just a matter of weeks. However, it's very possible it will. If this launches, it will be the most powerful rocket ever launched by a very large margin. It makes SLS's Super Heavy, which we'll get to later, minuscule in power, John. Really, this is a big rocket, and it's supposed to be all reusable.
Another November launch upcoming on a SpaceX Falcon 9 is iSpace. What is iSpace, Bob?
iSpace is a private commercial Japanese company. It has offices, though, in a variety of countries outside of Japan, that is building a lunar lander called Hakuto R. And they had originally tried to build Hakuto for the Google XPRIZE, Lunar Lander XPRIZE, which no one won. But after they had been building it for a while and that contest got canceled, they continued to build it and upgrade it and offer space on it for payloads. And so a number of people have bought payloads. And the key payload on this lunar lander is one person purchased by the United Arab Emirates. They're going to put a small rover called Rashid. They have put on Hakuto R. Rashid is going to go to the moon on Hakuto. If it lands safely, it will then roll off its payload bay. It will then rove on the moon for about 2 weeks during the lunar day. It's mostly an engine, just like Hakuto R is. These are engineering tests. Rashid is basically designed to be a test to teach the engineers at UAE how to build this and then also to test it. It has two cameras that the French made for it. It's about the size, by the way, of an old radio flyer red wagon. That's about the size. And on its wheels, they put patches, adhesive patches, so that as it rolls across the lunar dust, those patches will pick up the dust. And lunar dust is very abrasive. It's a problem that has to be dealt with. And this is actually a test to see which types of material can handle the dust better. It's a very clever idea. It's all they do is rove the thing. The patches get dust. They take pictures of it. They decide which type of material works better. So, and this launch now is scheduled for a November 9th to 15th launch window on a SpaceX Falcon 9. Which means I'm not sure when it'll reach the moon. It depends on what kind of route they take. But when it gets there, it's going to be the first commercial private lander that has reached the moon and landed.
A space tourist for Elon Musk's Starship. Is this a moon mission, Dennis Tito? A moon mission, Bob?
Yes. Yes. This is the second manned private customer that SpaceX has signed for Starship. The first one was a Japanese billionaire, and this was several years ago. He signed a deal with SpaceX to go on the first Starship mission around the moon and back to Earth. He's going to bring a bunch of artists with him, and I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. But we just this week got a second customer signing up for a Starship lunar mission, and that's Dennis Tito and his wife. Dennis Tito, if people remember, was the very first commercial tourist to fly to space. He purchased a ticket on a Soyuz capsule with the Russians and went to ISS. And he started the trend. He said that, look, I have the money. I want to go. The Russians have the seat. They want to make the money. And so they made a deal. And he went to space and started this space tourism. Well, now we signed a deal with SpaceX, and so now SpaceX not only has NASA as a customer for Starship, it now has three different private customers. I have to correct this, because the Japanese billionaire has got the first lunar mission, and Dennis Tito's got the second lunar mission, but Jared Isaacman has also paid for a Starship mission, but that one appears to be a orbital mission around the Earth, and it might be tied in with Isaacman's offer with SpaceX to NASA to maybe lift the orbit of Hubble Space Telescope. None of that's confirmed, but that's the kind of stuff. So they got three customers for Starship, John, and it hasn't even launched yet.
And we go to Hollywood in space. The question is Tom Cruise ready to make a movie about the ISS?
This has been a rumor now for almost 5 years that Tom Cruise wants to make a movie, a science fiction movie, and shoot scenes in space. And, of course, there's an opportunity to buy tickets from SpaceX and its Dragon capsule. People are doing it. But Cruise, even though these rumors keep coming up, it hasn't happened. It is not Cruise that's buying tickets and hasn't bought any tickets at this point. But there was another interview of the chairman of Universal who said that the company is trying to arrange a Cruise film where they would shoot scenes on ISS as well. And Cruise would be then the first non-professional to do a spacewalk. Well, I posted this on Behind the Black because it's kind of cool. If it happens, it would be kind of neat. But I have to tell you, it has no indication here they've negotiated with any space company like SpaceX or talked to NASA in any way. So this could just simply be another way to generate buzz for his next film, and they're not really serious. I will say that I fully believe Cruise would love to do the idea, and he might be the source of these rumors, but it doesn't mean that the film companies are willing to invest the capital to launch him to space. That's the unknown.
Groundhog Day in November. NASA is targeting the next launch attempt of the Artemis 1 mission for Monday, November 14th. So everything's straightened out now, Bob. It'll just go to the pad and then blast off.
I have a bridge I want to sell you, John.
Okay.
I have no idea if NASA is going to be able to get SLS launched on November 14th, but they've set that date. It will be a just after midnight launch, so it's going to be a night launch, which is going to be interesting. If you live on the East Coast, especially in the southern of the United States, that's going to light up the sky. It'll be quite interesting if it happens. And this mission means that the Orion capsule will do about a 26-day mission to the moon, lunar orbit, and then back to Earth. It's a little shorter than they would have originally liked, but this is the date they're planning for. This is really that we have a race between SpaceX and NASA about which big rocket's going to launch first. And it's a neck-and-neck race, but the truth is SpaceX has won the race already because they did their rocket in about a third the time for about a tenth the cost, and so they demonstrated private enterprise does it better anyway, John.
Amazon, I forget, Bob, what is Amazon involved in space? I know Blue Origin is Bezos, but that's separate than Amazon.
Yeah, it's Bezos' money, though, no matter what, and Amazon is designing a constellation of satellites comparable and competitive to Starlink called the Kuiper constellation. And both constellations, both Starlink and Kuiper, were announced at almost exactly the same time about 7 years ago. Well, SpaceX has got about 3,000 satellites in orbit and is now operational and almost across the entire globe in some manner or another. Kuiper hasn't yet launched a single satellite. This is very typical of a Bezos company. Amazon is going to have 3,200 of these satellites in orbit when it's launched, but haven't gotten anything off the ground. They have now announced that the first two Kuiper satellites, test satellites, are going to launch on the very first Vulcan Centaur launch of ULA's new rocket, and that's set to go in the first quarter of next year, assuming Blue Origin, that's another Bezos company, can finally finish and make ready the BE-4 engines that Vulcan needs. That's also many years behind schedule. I put this at the end, John, because I don't take it very seriously like SLS. The delays are the rule with any Bezos company, not the exception.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Space engineering behind us. We're going exploring. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.